I saw Toot on the Bway. Okay, it's week two of the Off-Center Project, and we've got a guest back. Hey, it's Laura Coleman. She joins us for this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
No.
Yay.
Content. Now.
You sound great.
Switch goes on. Hastings comes out.
Andrew Hastings' approach to creativity. Just staring at a pad, writing on, and being like, why aren't I on Netflix?
Fuck yeah. Why aren't I on Netflix? Can you tell me why?
Yeah, because they don't have like a big Australian thing. That would be my...
But if they did have a big Australian thing...
You'd be on the list.
You'd be
on a list that they have.
It would certainly be a name somewhere on a list somewhere.
Yeah, your name would be in an Excel file somewhere.
Like if this guy comes into the lobby, do not let him in.
Yeah.
Under any circumstances.
My pitch is in the Netflix lobby. It's just like, this guy will pitch some ideas.
Next weekend.
This guy is going to come up with pitches.
This guy does not follow through on ideas.
You are going to tire of the words, an Andrew Hastings vehicle.
Absolutely.
If you pitch something...
As if he wouldn't call it an Andrew Hastings joint.
Yeah.
Well, when I direct my first film, that'll be an Andrew Hastings joint. But the vehicles will be the mini sitcoms and talk shows.
If you're pitching the Netflix Hastings, and they're like, all right, well, we like you as a comic, and we want to jump on board the Andrew Hastings train.
Of course.
What's your pitch? They say we'll give you the blank check. You can do anything with it. You can record stand-up specials.
Yeah,
you can go traveling and do like an Anthony Bourdain thing.
So I think I would probably have a main project that has side things off it. Side things, stand-up special for sure. Why not?
Okay.
A talk show. I would like to have my own talk show
on Netflix.
You'd be so good with that.
Like weekly.
It's been such a proven vehicle for you.
Oh, suck my dick. No, and then I'd do that. But then I think like the main thing would just be a show where it's like sort of me, face barrel to the camera. It's just kind of my thoughts. I'm just kind of like sort of like pontificating.
Is that in like black and white?
Just like drew no,
it's just
HBO
it's my
special.
It's me in a chair just being like, I think this is what I think of the Daniel Bryan storyline from 2014, and people just have to watch it because I am sort of the key content creator of the world.
And would there be like an entourage kind of vibe where you would bring up those around you?
Yeah, but you that would be one of the spin-off projects. It would be like a Real Housewives kind of reality show.
The Real Housewives.
Like,
Real Housewives of Andrew Hastings.
Yeah.
You'd have to give Yvette her own like reality show.
Yeah, dude, she's built for it. Don't worry. I can't think of anyone better suited for that.
Well, yeah, but if I'm you, I would not be like when they meet Yvette, obviously, and they're like, we got to give her a show, you'd be like, yeah, we'll talk to her, and then just throw the idea in the bin. Because like as soon as she gets it, it's like going to be like the Yvette show with her husband.
Andrew who?
Yeah. People, you'll get you'll start in like the starring role,
true.
Then as the years go on, you will be phased out of the credits.
Yeah. She's kind of like Urkel.
Yeah, she's your Urkel.
Yeah, my wife's my Urkel.
Name all the other ways in which Yvette is like Urkel.
She's a bit of a nerd. She's doing a master's degree. She's a bit of a nerd. She won't fuck me.
That's a famous problem with Urkel. he won't fuck you.
Yeah, Urkel won't fuck me.
You're like, Jaleel, come on, man. Yeah.
Come on, Jaleel.
She wears a lot of suspenders.
That's true.
She drinks a potion and turns into like a lover boy version of her.
Oh, yeah, what's his name again?
I don't know. Do you know this, Laura?
I actually know the name Urkel, but I have no idea like why I know
Stefan.
Stefan.
Yeah, well, Yvette has the same
Urkel
thing, but the potion is just like
on Family Matters.
Six pale ales.
Yeah.
And the smooth guy is just her and some, open mic comedians' DMs.
Just being like, Andrew's out. That's all she writes. Then everyone's like, all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you say you were going to be in the newspaper?
I am.
Okay.
All that stuff she did.
Yeah. Oh, it's not positive. Alex, friend of the show, Alex J, and I think, are being interviewed and photographed for something in the Sun, Herald, and The Age about like the state of comedy at the moment.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I don't know. We're doing it on Thursday.
Oh, you haven't done
we're doing it? Because I'm doing giant comedy on Thursday. So I think the day this comes out.
Yes, it will
be. So come to that. Because I'll have my hair and makeup all did and look pretty.
Yeah. And Hastings will probably be on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hastings will be on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you?
At Everly next week.
Look, man. I
think so.
Hastings, I'll tell you what I've told everyone asking for spots at Everly. Andrew Hastings cannot do it.
Yeah, I was in the paper once and I kind of fucked it up.
I was in a
have
local paper.
Have I seen
paper.
You in the paper?
Probably.
What was it for?
All
for
that stuff I did.
Yeah. I was in a local paper. I could probably find a photo of this.
I was
it's
in the Manly
funny.
Daily.
Yeah, with, I think for yeah, emo,
with,
right?
Yeah, and it was with... Fuck, what was her name? Shit. God, I can't remember this comedian's name. It was with...
She's from Manly.
She's from Manly.
Michelle Lim.
Michelle Lim, it was. Thank you very much.
Yeah, right.
I remember because I have it on my... I have the clipping saved on my wall. My Andrew Hastings, I just want him to succeed wall.
Thank you. I appreciate you keeping the shine up during your move. it's like, no, Amy, we've got to protect the shrine. Yeah, make sure the movers do not fuck up my Andrew Hastings. I just want the best for him.
She was like, yeah, she was like, Jamie, it's time to grow up. We need to get rid of all the stuff. And I was like, not the fucking Andrew Hastings.
No, it's like the secret.
Bitch, if you touch
yeah, you're putting it up there and you're manifesting it.
Manifest that desk, baby.
But, I got one of the questions was like, how much of the emo thing is like a character? And I was trying to be funny in my response. So I was like, it's not a character. I really do something. I really do love My Chemical Romance. And I really do want to kill myself or something like that.
Yeah, which they would have loved to have printed in the paper.
And I really do have depression or something. It was like a little lighter than kill myself. And then like they like made it like more... They like tightened up my wording and it made it not read as funny. Yeah, it was like they misquoted me. They made it read as not funny and it was just like, wow, this seems like a genuine cry for help in my local paper. At my like fucking wedding, no, it wasn't my wedding, at my cousin's wedding that I was at soon after that, one of my different cousins came up to me and was like, hey, I saw you in the paper. If you ever need a chat, man, we can always just...
Did he buy a ticket to the show?
I don't think he did, actually.
So it didn't work the way you intended it.
It didn't. He came to my wedding, which was nice, but... Oh, he's the guy your wife knows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That guy.
He was still trying to find this thing when I was in the local paper.
Yeah. I really would love to know what it was for.
What local paper?
I think it's kind of funny. It was the Sutherland and St. George Shire's leader.
Was it because you won the Year 12 award for most likely to stay a man?
The famous award category.
Yeah, and you've gone back and shown them all wrong.
I actually won funniest person and best eyebrows, so fuck you.
I was nominated for really best eyebrows.
I had pretty good eyebrows back then.
And you didn't know you were.
I think people. Well,
no, because you can have like Sandy Cohen eyebrows. I call them like good eyebrows.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
wouldn't
like,
say that's a thing.
At least you'll enjoy this
friends.
Part of it, is because everyone said like you have such good eyebrows for a man.
Yeah. I do enjoy that part of it.
And this was like pre eyebrow tattooing, pre threading. This is all natural.
It was 2007.
Wow.
Yeah, I got nominated for best grub, but someone else won it.
Really?
So biggest grub, not best grub.
Meaning
biggest
like grub. Dirtiest.
Who
won
best grub?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just a fat Italian kid. biggest grub. Yeah, for like bad uniform, you know, unwashed, that sort of deal.
I got the award for most consistent achievement in visual arts.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
So I guess you could
highly
say
coveted.
That I'm across all of the visual and performing arts. Yeah.
I was second in my year in visual arts.
Great.
I can't draw or paint.
What did you do for your like year 12
art
project?
It was
project?
A short film. Yeah, cool. About sexualization of children by the media. I was pretty...
Was it really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And you say that you're not a pedophile?
I was against it.
That's the twist. Is that you're for it? It's like this harrowing thing and at the end, and it's like, that's why we should be able to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
The position was pretty firmly
until
against
I read it,
it,
you know, that's what I'm going to
assume
it was.
So, yeah, it was that, and I did pretty good. 98 was the grade my teacher gave it.
Good padding, everyone.
I just got back from. I just got back from.
Guys aren't impressed. I'm secretly a genius. You guys aren't like, damn. Hey,
no,
I mean, 98%. That's pretty good.
Would it make you feel better or worse if I said we already knew?
Self graded though.
Yeah.
See, the Hastings Whisperer strikes
from
again.
Now on, from now on, can you just give me multiple choice options of things you've thought to say, and I'll pick one which I like best?
Yeah, but then won't that? But then won't that be like, well, he thought of all the other things?
Yeah, no, you'd think so, but I'm dumb enough for that to work.
Cool.
Yeah,
I just got back from Mudgee. Did like some wine stuff.
Yeah.
People are racist down there. It's pretty funny.
Hell yeah.
It's really bad. Like, my dad goes down there all the time.
It's like, it was
famous
like, if you were playing bingo, every stop we went on, someone said something where you're like, oh boy.
Yeah,
and the best was we went to like this dog shit honey place. I wish I could name it because it was so... Yeah. But it's
Jamie
like,
only likes that good honey.
Yeah, I like that honey that makes me feel funny. But it was like, it was a classic like shitty basic bitch kind of place. Like amongst all these vineyards, this place is like the fucking like tourist trap where like it's got like Winnie the Pooh like tea cloths and stuff that. And the guy who is just like this Italian bloke going on about how he's like Italian making stuff just starts like putting out the feelers for all the people in the group and like, yeah, it's just, you know, if things are changing, it's wine tasting, you know, because of COVID. And we're like, yeah. And he's like,
I like where this is going.
This is a pretty hot take.
So he's just like, you know, it's, and then just starts going in on China. And it's just like, oh no.
Yeah.
I found the article. All right. So our friend David's older brother, Nick, like worked for this paper as a journo. And he thought it would be quite funny when I think it was the last Harry Potter book came out, is if he got a bunch of us in a room, dressed us up as wizards, and like got fake quotes from us.
Yeah.
So it's called It's Pottermania, which is quite funny, you know, that I'm in this considering.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. We should cancel you for
where
this.
Where we come now.
Yeah. Or you should do a tweet about how personally betrayed you feel by your favorite author.
Yeah.
That'd probably get a lot of likes.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite quotes here was, what do we have here?
The implication there was Harry Potter's your favourite book.
That Lord Voldemort, I want to tear him up into 1,000 pieces and scatter him to the wind, David
That's
said.
Good. That's quite funny.
Yeah, we are funny.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, man. Yeah. When the last Harry Potter book came out, me and my girlfriend at the time both went and bought our copies like first thing in the morning day it came out.
Nerds.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to finish it before school Monday.
Nerds.
Yeah. So then I slept at my girlfriend's house that night, but like we was just kind of like locking ourselves away to like just read.
And you weren't fucking?
No.
Laura?
So
no,
had you already fucked by that point?
Yeah.
So you chose not to fuck to Laura?
Nerds.
Yeah.
So I'm there.
Yes. Interesting. Interesting point.
Yeah. So I'm there reading this Harry with my copy of Harry Potter and like my girlfriend's there with her copy of Harry Potter. After a few minutes, her mum, who was a bit of like a bawdy jokes kind of mum, like very quickly with the dog, I gotcha, like thinking she like knew we'd be fucking, was like trying to catch us fucking.
Interesting that she wants to do that. Like,
yeah, she was. I'll tell you another story about her.
It's like, I want to see Andrew Hastings' beautiful baby penis.
Yeah. But then she was like, oh no, you guys aren't like having sex, you guys are just reading, you fucking nerds.
So she made my joke, but like at the actual time.
Yeah. And I knew that whole time you were saying, I was like, yeah, this story's going to end well.
Tell you.
This is going to have, this is gonna have some symmetry to it.
She sounds smart and cool and funny.
She sounds like someone Laura would like to hang out with.
One of the first times I ever like went over, I was like 15. It was before we'd even like touched each other's genitals. And like her mum was going out. We were 15
Mandy's
years old.
Talking about touching minus genitals on the podcast again.
She's 10 days younger than me.
Hastings admitting things. Yeah.
Also, we hadn't touched each other's genitals at this point. Yeah, imagine the woke take being like, I didn't lose my virginity till I was 18.
I was doing that bit to someone recently, being like, well, I'm the woke guy. I just didn't kiss a girl till I was 22.
Yeah, they were all 12. She went out for the night and I was like, oh, I might get to make out with my new girlfriend. Very excited. Hot. And as she was walking out, she was like, all right, you guys have fun. Try not to get your juice on my couch, Andrew.
Oh, dear.
It was like pretty funny. Like she was like laughing at her own joke. Like she was just her as well. She was just laughing at herself. And we were both there pretty mortified. One time I was helping her in the kitchen. I chopped up a bunch of chilies. And she was like, don't finger Amy after doing this.
Damn.
Oh, that, you've told that on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Should we get into this thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, welcome to World's
One time we found a vibrator.
Yeah, that's like a seminal thing to do.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
A seminal or a seminal thing to do?
They're different words?
Welcome to World's Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, a podcast about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts and things very much not thereabouts. This week is week two of a special little 9-week journey we're doing where
so
we watch every episode of failed sitcom off center. Hi, I'm Rose Piper. You, pointing at you, are...
I'm Jamie.
Yep, and you?
I'm Andrew Hastings, the star of the show.
And we are joined by a special guest, our first guest since the fucking pandemic, Laura Coleman. Hello, welcome.
Oh, Oh, thanks. Nice to be here.
Nice
to have you. Wait, what?
I was trying to applaud, but I was holding the microphone. I wanted to do a little round of applause.
What a nerd.
Right, yeah.
I hate this. Do you want me to tell you all the drugs I've done? I'll list them.
I'll tell you even the chemical name formula. Oh, fuck.
Class A.
A co-worker today asked me what drugs I'd done.
And how many chicks you rooted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was like, what drugs have you done? And I was like, you know. All of them. No meth, no heroin, which she was impressed by. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Were they the only two she'd done?
Yeah. She loved them.
So between the two of you had it pretty...
Well, she was, I think, trying to find somewhere to buy MDMA. Oh, okay. Was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, obviously I can't help her out with. That's...
Crazy. I don't know. You give her a message, you might get a discount.
I'm absolutely not doing that. What were we talking about?
Oh, Santa.
Stupid show that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So, Laura, had you heard about this show before we
Never
brought it up to you?
Had
okay.
I ever.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Mm. I did warn Laura when I sent her the episodes to watch. I was like, this isn't good.
No. Yeah.
We have a hard time getting guests.
Tell them. We have a hard time.
We have a hard time.
We have. Yeah.
No, I just assumed that was because of all the stuff I did.
But, yeah, we've been talking about the show. We talked about the show last week, and our big thing was that we don't. Apart from the fact that it's bad, we're interested in like why it failed, because it seems like the deck was stacked in its favor when it launched with the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the fact that it was on like a network skewing towards teens who are kind of the exact target market towards this.
And promoted heavily is brought to you heavily by the people who brought you American Pie, like right at the height of the popularity of that franchise.
Have you seen the film Titanic?
Yeah.
It's just that. Right, so it's like they thought the ship couldn't sink. Yeah. Here we are.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. Off-center in many ways.
It's Titanic. It's
like Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a masterpiece.
It's of a
cinema.
Titanic piece of shit.
It made me want to throw myself in the ocean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. You would actually happily like not be on the door? With
yeah.
Those?
If on the door you were watching this show, then I'd rather not, yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And I was. I had a little like...
So you weren't tempted after the three episodes to maybe see what fates befell Mike and you and Chow and status quo
and episode six
and
whatever the girl's name
and
is.
Yeah, and the girlfriend yeah. they don't seem to care about.
I think maybe I would have been more tempted if I had have started at the beginning, but
no.
I guess I came in. No?
No.
Okay. I was just like, why is this? What is this? Like,
yeah.
why?
Yeah, I've
but
been
mostly
like that for
how.
About six episodes.
There's no
yeah.
premise. It's just they're just living in.
It's a classic hangout sitcom.
It's not, yeah. It's like Friends.
Yep.
Well, my biggest thing.
It's more like Friends.
Yeah. My biggest thing, like, this week from these three things is, again, focusing on the character Status Quo.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk to me about Status Quo.
Because Status Quo, like, now it's six episodes.
Yes.
And at this point, Mike's had storylines, Ewan's had storylines, Liz has had storylines.
Chow has now had
a storyline where the whole thing is, like, he creeps out girls and he... Which is kind of like, you know, in 2020, like, there'd probably be a whole episode about some woman calling him Chew, and, like, the whole thing would be like, this fucking woman got me.
Yeah.
And it would probably be funnier than what happened in that. But so Status Quo has not had his own plot yet.
Yeah.
So the question I was going to pose was, do you think initially when people were, when they were coming up with this idea, that instead of just the twist being like he's a rapper that's kind of like, you know, he's a white guy.
Yeah.
But he's a rapper. I reckon, and you can discuss this, I reckon like in the first drafts of these scripts, Status Quo was a gay man. And at some point it got nixed by censors, producers, network, and they had to cut it all out. And they were left with this kind of like nothing of a character.
I don't mind it.
Especially for the first six episodes, and like they can then ride on the fly and maybe he features later. But like my running theory is like the whole thing is he's a gay guy.
I could buy into that.
Yeah, I see it.
I think either way, because the character has no part of the show except for like these little, he walks in and just says something and walks out and it doesn't like add anything to the show. So it feels to me like they're just like, how can we make this cast more diverse? And they just put someone in there. So, yeah, totally. Like,
yeah.
Why not?
I think it's cool that this is like a diverse cast. It's got like an Asian guy, a black guy, a kind of a weird vampire. A British guy.
Well, I mean, in that context, it is kind of odd because the biggest sitcoms of this like time were like Friends, Frasier. So to have a cast that's got like a black man and an Asian guy.
I didn't see an Asian on TV till 2008. So I didn't
And like mostly like because John Cho is also famously he had like a short lived show in the 2010s called Selfie with Karen Gillan, which was like a Pygmalion thing.
Right.
And he like the press at the time was like he was the first Asian American to be like cast as a romantic lead in a sitcom on
which
television.
Is crazy.
Wow.
Like, right, shit.
So like. And then, like, so Chow even is kind of an achievement to just have, like, an Asian guy in there, even though half, like, all the stuff is like, isn't it funny how this Asian guy, like, sucks in bed and creeps out women? And
I do like that in putting the Asian guy there. They're like, what should he do as a job? Well, I guess run an Asian restaurant.
Yeah.
Have you seen Space Force?
No.
I haven't watched it yet.
I binge watched it all in on my COVID lockdown. I did a COVID lockdown. Yeah, I did 2 days.
That doesn't really count.
No, no, like it was I was in quarantine for 2 days.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it for 2 weeks.
No, no, it's if you get a negative test result, you can leave.
Right.
Which I did.
Where did you did you stay somewhere?
Yeah, I stayed at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yvette was with me for the trip anyway, so it's like whatever. But yeah, no, I don't have COVID. It turns out, which is great.
Good news.
Yeah, I got it tested.
Yeah,
I got real run down and I got a cold. And then like, as soon as I had a sore throat, I was like, oh no,
I've
seen so many people.
I'm pretty sure the nurse who did mine was a nurse when I got my appendix out. She looked very familiar. She was kind of thick.
Was she wearing a mask? They all kind of
Looked like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had, I don't know, dark hair.
Yeah, checks out.
Yeah. No, she's cute. I've never had a nurse thing. Maybe this time.
Didn't they have a nurse thing in one of the episodes?
They did.
They did.
Yay.
Hey, we brought it back around. Laura, do you want to take my job on this podcast?
Sure.
Well, they also, like, I mean, because to go back to status quo being a gay guy, there is an episode where he gets clothes made for him and they're all, like, women's underpants and, like, lace bras. And then he later wears, like, the latex hot pants. And that episode also made me laugh because the whole thing is like, oh, like, Liz kind of, like, gets to dress how they want and everyone's like, fuck off! Put some clothes on, woman!
Like, at least the first two episodes that we watched for this were, like, extremely problematic because there was some pretty blatant transphobia.
Yeah.
There was, like, a lot of whorephobia.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, slut-shaming, asking for it kind of stuff. Like,
I didn't like what this show implied about non-monogamous people. I didn't found that deeply offensive.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't really actually find it offensive. But I was like, anyway, they do like a lot of storylines like that on shows where they'll do like a weird, like, you know, trying to get a threesome with someone storyline or like trying to. I watched the open marriage episode of House the other week as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny watching it. Like, I was watching with a vet and we're just being like, guys, this is such an easy problem to solve. This is so easy. Just. Stop caring.
I think that's the main thing that I didn't like about the show. Like, there were lots of things not to like. Well, it wasn't funny. So, yeah, that was the main thing. But
I have a question about that coming up.
The second thing I didn't like about it was...
No, it's not funny.
It's not the question.
I feel like it made, like, Liz, particularly the Liz character, the, like, girlfriend character, right? Like... It made it seem like, oh, relationships suck. Like, if you're a man, you should just try to avoid, like, getting in a relationship. All that happens when you get a girlfriend is they're so boring and they make you do this and they make you do that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And these people...
I'd agree with that that wasn't an accurate criticism of having a girlfriend.
Oh, man. If we could have just recorded the way Laura's face reacted to that.
Like a proper...
Probably. Yeah. People would probably be like, you got to put that on the fucking best. I heard her eyebrows crash through the ceiling.
That like is a through line for like the whole series.
It doesn't change. It doesn't get better.
Right. Yvette, if you're listening, I love you.
Well, the thing,
Yvette's not listening.
You're
working on a reality show.
She's doing her podcast with her girlfriends, being like, the worst thing about having a husband is he does this podcast and I have to listen.
You have no idea. You have no idea how accurate that could actually.
He really hates that.
He's constantly telling me and his friends to come to a show sometime.
Cool.
The other,
spelled C-U-M.
Liz sucks in this because they won't. Like, they can't let her win either way. Like, in the first three episodes, it was all about, like, how much of a shrew she is and how, like, she can't... She, like, everything she does is about, like, not letting Mike, like, realize his full dude awesomeness. Mm. And then in the next three episodes, they're kind of like, all right, well, here she is. She kind of like is cool with threesomes and like she wears like more expressive clothes, which is just like 3 13-year-olds in a writer's room being like, what do women do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, but like when they give her
the
like
question we've all asked yeah, from time to time.
When they
and we'll never tell you.
I mean, yeah, I say 13-year-olds. Like I could go and write a female character with Hastings tomorrow. Yeah. It'd be like she'd be walking around in a nurse outfit yeah. and stuff, being
but
like
you wouldn't.
I dropped my clipboard.
I can't believe yeah. how slutty and into Star Wars I am.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah she wouldn't be just as I love video games.
Yeah. But I'm not as good at them as you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Andrew Hastings. The male lead.
Yeah. But that's like when they do the things that like guys like these writers think makes a girl cool,
yeah.
they actively punish her for yeah. it as yeah, well. Yeah, like absolutely. She goes to jail
yeah.
for dressing like yeah. Yeah. Like, and it's not even that bad or anything, but like she goes to jail, she gets like embarrassed. Like the three-way thing is just I don't know, nothing really.
It's very odd.
Like, it still kind of implies that she did it, but, like, in the end, she wouldn't have gone through with it because she is too, like, uptight and stuff.
Mm.
Threesomes aren't even that good.
Wow, dude, brag.
Humble brag, yeah.
Brag.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any humility to that brag. That was just a brag.
It doesn't get
sick till you're into five ways. That's when it gets good.
I don't think
threesomes are bullshit.
So you're saying the threesome on the show would have been better if Ewan and Cho were in it as well, and you would have really liked to watch that episode.
And if Andrew Hastings was in it, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Cho's a good looking guy.
That's when he starts listening.
Yeah, he's kind of cute.
Cho's good looking.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any humility in that brag should be on your epitaph.
Yeah.
It's a good Andrew Hastings thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Liz is completely hamstrung at this point. Like, if she sucks, she sucks. If she's cool, she's bad.
I feel like
she's a bad woman.
Yeah.
Like she's definitely like shafted probably worse than anyone because like she's just there to create problems for the male characters as many female characters in things of this era are. But like it's also sort of the same for everyone because no one's likable.
No,
like,
they all suck.
Deeply, deeply unlikable.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to run.
Chow?
Yeah,
Chow is the most likable.
I'm gonna run.
Yeah,
two. Oh, I'm gonna run two contrarian opinions.
Okay.
One, I think Eddie K. Thomas is getting better in this.
I agree.
Like he was.
I reckon he's the worst.
He was like in the first three episodes. He's the obvious. No, he's the second weakest link because like the Sean Maguire who plays Ewan is just like mug.
He's awful.
Like
his smile
looks like it's been turned up. Like he does it with like surgery.
Oh, yeah. I reckon if you replaced him in the show with just a better actor, the show would go up 15%.
Yeah, if it was like Neil Patrick Harris doing Barney Stinson.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Before that was a thing.
Yeah, I take it back. By the way, threesomes rule. I'm just upset at the moment.
Phew.
But yeah.
Was there a threesome that didn't maybe go ahead last night?
No, God, no. I was very sensible last night. I'm not really fucking that much at the moment.
Yeah, I was very sensible last night when I got pissed and took a bunch of MDMA.
And what? So yeah. Sensible. And then I went home and watched pro wrestling with my friend Jack.
Oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely. It was Yvette's birthday. It was good fun.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I
she was there. Like,
yeah, I know. I saw
there
Instagram.
Was no threesome. You added that fun.
Yeah.
No one was hooking up with anyone.
I don't know. I saw photos on Instagram. There could have been a third.
My one thing about Eddie K. Thomas getting better is that like I thought in the episode where he's irresistible to women once they know he's in a committed relationship and he won't cheat, that scene at the party where he's in the Knicks shirt and just like getting more and more frustrated, that I was like, oh, he's genuinely doing good and like the character is getting more interesting. Then when they have to make her do, Liz do the wrong thing and kiss, and then when he goes back to the pub and he's all sleazy, they tanked it again. But for a brief, like, 4 minutes, I was like, oh, this is what he should be.
Yeah.
Like, this uptight guy who does love his girlfriend, but he's like,
to do better.
But, like, shit keeps coming at him, and he's trying to do better, but sometimes he'll fall backwards into, like, being a goof.
The natural trope should, like, it would seem so natural to make the, like, primary dynamic there, like, she's cool and has her shit together. He's a paranoid loser. Like,
yeah.
So it's like he's like she's always, you know, repeatedly revealing herself to exceed his expectations in some way, or whatever. And that way, she looks cool and he looks dumb. And there's comedy there. I suppose what they did with is just like, yeah, but also she's a slut. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I didn't see any like reason why you would believe that they were in a loving relationship in the show. Like they never talk to each other.
Have you noticed that they kiss weird too?
No, I didn't notice that.
When you watch them kiss, it's always like peck.
Yeah.
Just nothing there.
Jamie thinks ass to ass is normal kissing.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it.
That's how you get so much more purchase on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was there any point during the three episodes that you laughed?
Yes. Twice.
Me too, and I've forgotten what they were.
The first one for me was when the woman that they kept calling a toot for being a prostitute. God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, only just hit me that it's short for it.
Yeah.
Because I was like on my phone and I'm like, why do they keep saying toot? Yeah. Like, this is...
I am very ashamed to say that I laughed at I saw a toot on the boy. Like, it was just so dumb.
See, I think I can't believe I was only a little bit drunk. I laughed at the first time after like doing the whole setup where she brought the painting. Like seeing the painting made me laugh. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I laughed at when in that episode where I was just talking about where Mike is at like the party in his house and all the sexy women are there saying that he's sexy. Mm. Like when the two women come and are like, we both think you're sexy, when he's like, all right, everyone's got to go. Like that, I was like, okay. That was when I like wrote in my notes like Eddie K. Thomas getting better, and then he spent the rest of the episode squandering the goodwill.
Yeah, he does squander. That's the other thing is the show can't build up any goodwill momentum. Anytime it gets something right, something like it's just like 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh, this sucks again.
Yeah,
it is I think also the show has just gotten a bit better. Like these three episodes, I thought markedly better.
I thought episode six was the best one so far.
Yeah, the threesome one?
Yeah, I thought that was the best one so far. I thought episode 5. Or at least it was the least hateable one.
Yeah. I thought episode 5 was the best one. But
which one was episode 5?
That's like the most probo one so far.
No, wait, which was the one where he becomes irresistible? That was episode 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I thought episode 4 was the best one.
That's also a real probo. I just have to say this because I'm fucking trans. It's like the thing at the end or whatever, like obviously it's a terrible depiction where it's like, oh no, the man or whatever. But like, if you looked like that, even if you still had a dick,
yeah,
you wouldn't still call yourself Steven, and you wouldn't still call yourself a man.
Yeah. Is the implication that they're just really good at drag rather than being trans?
No, the implication is that they have a dick and that means they're a guy.
Right, okay.
And they wouldn't have changed their name yet.
Sure,
and
right.
And that their whole purpose of existing is to just like... dupe idiot. Mm. So then be like, ah, you sucked a dick.
Wait, are you saying that's normal trans people? Because that changes a lot of things.
I mean, like, you know, I'm sure some people do delight in
that. It's like, again, like 13-year-old boy writers being like, all right, so let's plot out the natural development of a trans person. She gets big fake titties. Yep. Obviously,
step
you have
one,
to.
The main indicator of being a woman.
Facial feminization surgery. Buys a whole new slutty wardrobe. Changes
to be fair,
her
these
name.
Are all things that I am actually planning to do.
Changes her name, maybe later. Yeah.
Really
know?
Works.
No, I haven't officially changed it yet.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you're like she's like, they're like, their whole thing is like, yeah, of course she'll go by Steven until.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. Is that, no, the paperwork hasn't gone through yet. So
not in this one, but in a lot of shows and movies like this where there's like a trans character like this. It's like also their character has to really work on their quad, calf, and shoulder muscles. They really got to just beef up, you know, so they look jacked in a dress. That's always the look. Mm. Big shoulders with spaghetti straps always makes, you know. That's a good gag for an
such
old
high
Eddie Murphy or
comedy
or something.
Value.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yikes.
That's why I don't work out.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to waste away to become a petite little lady.
Out of all the movies we've done so far, what's the most outwardly problematic with
Hot
trans
Pod.
Representation?
Oh, right.
No, because Hot Pod didn't have trans people.
No, I thought of this before.
No,
trans.
Well, maybe that. It had none. Hmm. I don't know. There's been a few, but like they're all
Ace
the same.
Ventura.
It's all the same joke. It's always the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's that she's a man, baby.
Mm.
To quote,
why do we ever see that joke go the other way? Is there any like? Is there ever any time you're watching a movie and like there's like a sexy dude and the girl's hooking up?
He
with
had
the sexy,
a pussy.
Like there was a pussy down there.
Holy shit!
Well, that's part of what they talk about on that disclosure documentary.
Because in real life, if that happened, the girl would totally just be like, all right. Yeah,
but that's part of what they talk about on that disclosure documentary. Yeah. They're like, trans women for years have been portrayed as freaks or whatever, and then trans men just don't exist.
Don't exist, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was reading, I mean, I don't know anything about this shit, but I was reading a thing the other day that said, like, a lot of, like, what a lot of people think would have just been described as lesbians 50 years ago or whatever.
Mm.
It's like they would be, if they lived today, likely to have been, you know what I mean? Like they went by different names and they dressed completely differently and like...
Yeah.
It's a thing. I saw it on a Twitter thing. I don't know.
Yeah. It's very complicated.
Yeah. I think it's sexy. Imagine that was my take.
I don't have to imagine.
I was just like, overall, just the whole process. I don't think
that is your take.
If you got like a pedestrian article about that, and you just wrote like, use the most scholarly language for like two pages, and you're like, to conclude, I think it's sexy as hell.
Trans man?
Yeah. Did you know that a trans woman threw the first brick at Stonewall? And also she was fucking sexy as hell.
Did y'all already talk about how, like, American Pie is for teenagers and with teenagers in it, and this show is they're supposed to be adults with jobs, but they still behave like they have the kind of mentality.
That's
and
an interesting
that is a great
no,
point.
But that is a very good point.
Yeah.
I feel like when you watch American Pie or some of those movies, like, some of the ideas of the characters are really backward, but you kind of identify with it because you're like, oh, growing up, I didn't know anything about the opposite sex or sexuality or who I was or, like, what it fucking is like, and that's funny, and I identify with it. But these people, they seem like they're in their mid-20s or something, and they're still bumbling around like, oh, bitches be shopping, and like they have no idea. I didn't find it as believable or relatable. I found it infuriating.
Yeah, and it's less charming.
Well, that
I'm glad you didn't know me in my mid-20s.
That might also be the key to why this failed. Because remember the other day when we were talking about American Pie 3 and about why my theory about why it didn't... Like, for a show marketed at teenagers who love American Pie, who are so used to the, you know, adventures of these four boys in high school, then to be like, all right, well, now this cunt works in an investment bank. Like, you've just lost, like, 13-year-olds who are like, I don't get it.
This guy's
like,
rich and gets
crabs. Well, you're essentially, like, rolling the dice and being like, they'll look at you and be like, when I grow up, I want to be this guy.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why, and I think it's a bad decision on the show's part, six episodes in, Ewan keeps winning at everything he does.
Yeah.
And when the chips are against him, like girls are like, you're a pig. And then they're like, finally, he's got his comeuppance. But that'll be at like minute 12.
Stinson.
And you'll be like, what's going to happen from minutes 12 to 20 is that he'll get the woman back and probably fuck her friend at the same time.
Barney Stinson lost most of the time in the show, right? You heard a lot of tellings of winnings. On camera, he lost more than he won.
Early on, he won all the time.
Right, well, the idea is that like he was incredibly successful at Wimbledon, but he was also like
scattergun approach, though. Wasn't
but he also had like a Rube Goldbergian approach to women with like the way his schemes worked. That was clearly cartoonish and.
Yeah. Like, well, it's just based on
things like he always won with women, but he lost with them because they're all like, you're a ridiculous person.
That's what I meant. Like, as in the episode arc or whatever.
Yeah.
Even if he gets to have sex, he probably still loses.
But his thing was that he was so, like, kind of delusional about how legendary his fucking life was. Is that
he. You trying to tell me something?
He wins all the
time. You trying to tell me something here?
Yeah. I feel like maybe he subconsciously started to yell something.
Well, that's a good point. That separates the characters as well, because like Barney is like treated not with like outright contempt, but everyone's like, ah, Barney's gonna Barney, but what a fucking idiot. Whereas like in this, like Mike wants to be Ewan. It's very clear he's jealous that Ewan gets the attention and he does not.
Maybe that's the problem, is maybe we want to see more of whatever that dude's character. What's his name? Mike?
Yeah.
I hate this fucking show. maybe it'd be better if we saw. Like if Mike's arc was him realizing that Ewan wasn't a good role model or something. You know what I mean? That's like, as opposed to just seeing this guy be a shitty, like, just be like a nerd who's jealous of his cool friend. Like, that's very boring and uninspired.
Like, it doesn't change, does it? Is your memory of it that it's just like the same kind of new thing every week until
but
it's
like,
done?
If I was working on it, which I would kill to do.
It's dog shit, but I would absolutely take a job with it.
I'd take any fucking job at the moment. I've been unemployed for over a year.
I reckon me, a guy who has done open mic comedy for a few years, could turn this major network sitcom around with a couple of ideas I have with 18 years worth of hindsight. Yeah, but like my first thing, if I go in the writer's room, I'd be like, all right, Liz and Mike aren't working. Break them up and make her a main character. Like, yes. She's still in it, but she gets to do like fun dating adventures. Like, fucking pair up with Chow and get him going out and like, yes. Not as like, not
do
like
they
as
break
a couple.
Them up?
I think they might in season two, yeah. But they don't go. But like, I would do that shit. Like, make her Elaine, essentially.
Yeah.
You can have them get back together in the last episode.
Yeah. But like, give her some agency. Like, let her do stuff. Like, it, I think, like,
I don't know. I hate it when women have agency.
Of course you do. You also hate it when women are represented by agencies when they could be looking at the big, the big dog.
Yeah, just, there's a lot of comedians out there, you know?
Make room for Andrew Hastings.
Yeah, I think it's Andrew Hastings this time.
No. What you're saying is women in comedy have an advantage.
Comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Who cares about comedy, man? Comedy's done anyway. Who gives a shit?
Last week you were like, I've done the most gigs.
Yeah, but last night I did MDMA.
Hey, I did a lot of MDMA over the last couple of weeks and I'm fit and fighting.
I was in Melbourne last weekend.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Did you do
the
a spot?
COVID hotspot.
I did do a spot, actually, but that wasn't what I wanted. I don't actually just come on this podcast to talk about all the spots I do.
You do?
No.
It seems like you do.
I come here to talk about all the routes that I get. No,
actually,
I haven't been
rude. That's
that
actually
much.
True.
I haven't been rude much lately. Don't worry about it.
I wasn't.
Yeah. No, but I was in Melbourne. I went to a 5-course degustation dinner.
Yeah.
With a wine pairing for each meal. Turns out, like, expensive wine, pretty nice. I may have been drinking wine incorrectly. It was really good, though.
How were you drinking it? You're, like, pouring it into your ass with a funnel?
Yeah, and also I was paying $6 for it is a bigger issue.
Well, if you're putting it in your ass, you don't want to pay more than $6, really.
I think...
Yeah.
I still
and the theory, if you put it in your ass, then, like, it doesn't go through your head, so you maybe it won't give you a headache.
Here's the question, though.
It's about the ass feel.
If you pour a
you got to swirl it around in your ass.
If you pour a $6 bottle of wine up your ass and you pour a $100 bottle of wine up your ass, would you have a better experience with the $100 wine?
No,
I don't
think. Because you're pouring
so.
It into your ass.
Well, I think it's like about... Like
there'd be less preservatives and stuff.
Your ass would get less of a hangover.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But still, like, the same. The reasons why it's like better for you still apply.
You'd get the same... I think it was... To be honest, I'm going to level with you here. I think the difference with $100
and
$6
and
wine would be better told apart drinking through your mouth.
Agreed.
I hate this.
Hey, speaking of this, Chad, I'm going to go to the bar. Does anyone want a beer?
Okay.
Yeah, I can have one more before I drive.
I finished Fallen Order, Jamie, today.
Oh, yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
Same. I didn't hate it. It was, like, fine.
It's cool when you get the double lightsaber.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I started playing XCOM this afternoon.
XCOM fucking rules.
Yeah, I'm having a good time so far.
Have you named all the characters after people you know?
Yeah, pro wrestlers. I named them all after pro wrestlers.
You didn't do open mic comedians. No, that's interesting.
I would have, but you already took that one.
Oh, well, I could just call them friends.
Do you make them fight each other?
No, you make them like fight the bad guys, and then when they get
teams.
If they get killed in the game, they just get like killed
just
for
gotta,
the rest of the
you
game.
Make, you just gotta like give them names. So it's like,
am I still alive?
Yeah, you're gravely wounded but alive.
Oh baby,
you're a very high ranking sniper.
Yeah, I'm a real bounce backer kind of girl.
Hastings still very much dead, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I think in some ways he would have wanted it that way. No.
According to him in the fucking Manly Daily or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
When,
yeah that's funny.
Happy to be dead.
Yeah, man. That was so funny having to wake up at like 7 a.m. to go get my photo taken at Manly Wharf with Michelle Lim. It was very funny.
What's Michelle Lim doing these days?
I don't know. I haven't seen her for a while.
No fucking
probably idea. COVID stuff because comedy's not really on.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's all good.
All right.
Did you had a bunch of notes there?
Yeah, I have more notes. There's my big one. Chow is like getting more stuff to do. And like John Cho is getting a lot better. Like he seems to be the only one that has the rhythm of being a sitcom actor down.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like how to wait for a laugh, how to like kind of
that's
react
what I was saying
while
last
the
week.
Laugh
he's
is
just
happening.
A, he's just better at the job technically.
Yeah.
Because... Sean, like, I mean, what's his fucking name? Sean McGuire. Ewan does this thing, like, every time he delivers a joke where this won't work because it's a visual thing, but he's like, Whole face goes just, upwards.
The mugging is out of control.
Because he's grown up watching like dog shit British.
Yeah,
sitcoms.
It's like, yes, is if your calf being doffed or something on BBC, it's a limited series with John Turgewater or something like that.
And there's black.
Where it's like, we have farcical misunderstandings about who brewed the tea.
And there's blackface in every episode.
The vicar's here.
So he is actually British.
He's in blackface.
I think he is actually British, yes.
Okay. He, you know,
that
is
his
yeah.
natural accent.
Because he was on that really famous British show. I don't know if you know about this because you lived there, Jamie.
Vicar of Dibley.
Grange Hill.
Oh, yeah. I grew up watching Grange
Hill. He took the role of Teggs on there.
Teggs. Perfect.
Man, England sucks.
Yeah, it was really
fucking
does.
Hating. It's so fucking
something
ugly.
That bothers me is like
some of
Husk
his
of an Empire.
A lot of his filmography is quite interesting. He was
on nostalgia.
He was on EastEnders for a bit.
I loved EastEnders.
Played Aidan Brosnan.
Loved EastEnders as
Do you think
kid.
He interacted with Danny Dyer? I would love to see that.
Danny Dyer rocks.
Danny Dyer fucking rules.
Bet you he's been cancelled like a million times.
Danny Dyer?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I swear to God, if you looked up Danny Dyer... Maybe. Like, there would be things where it's like, he says stuff.
He used to be on all the panel show. Oh, here's a good one. Sean Maguire was one of the children in the musical number Every Sperm is Sacred in Monty Python.
Fuck yeah. That's a classic.
It's wild,
that
right?
sounds like his best role to date.
Yeah, pretty much.
But they cut him out because he kept doing that fucking weird stuff.
He also played one of Father Ted's victims.
Oh, here's a good one. Famously received a custard pie in his face from a presenter on some kid show that he was on.
What kid show?
I think he should try that on this show.
Yeah,
I would love to see him absolutely.
Well, he just he needs to be embarrassed in this show, like thoroughly. Mm. Something bad needs to happen to him.
Yeah, I hope he gets his dick cut off.
Well, you can't be like rich, good, like. I guess that's... You can't be, like, rich and just win every
yeah,
time,
Yeah, if you
I
cut
think.
His dick off, that would really even things out.
This yeah, is maybe a great, if you cut his dick
this
off.
This is a great sad paragraph of a Wikipedia.
More characters would cut off dicks.
In the early 1990s, he appeared in Waterland opposite Ethan Hawke and Jeremy Irons and has also allegedly been credited as having a part in A Kiss Before Dying, but his part ended up on the cutting room floor.
Mm.
That's sad.
Sucked in.
Happens to the best of us.
I just kind of want him to lose it.
He's probably a nice guy.
Even in real life.
Nah, he's British.
What about the episode where he likes the painter? You kind of feel sorry for him a bit because he's like, oh, I feel shallow. I'm looking for a serious relationship. And then she's like, yeah, give me all your money. But then at the end, he's like, oh, no, get fucked, you slut.
Yeah, well, because he saw her taking a shit.
Which is like,
she should have known better.
Yeah.
After she kind of like came clean and was like, yeah, I want to be boyfriend, girlfriend. He was like, yeah, brilliant. And then he's, what are you doing in there?
Oh, do you remember? This was on the Comedy Channel back in the day. He played the lead role. I remember this, actually. In Crod Mandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire.
What the
fuck is that?
A comedy
fantasy series in which he plays a, quote, sensitive but clueless freedom
fighter. We should just nuke England.
That used to be on the Comedy Channel
like
back in the day.
It is a thing where like you meet a lot of people who are like, oh, British comedy is just the best. And you're like, have you seen any of it? Have you seen 95% of it? Like there's five that like maybe rises to the occasion.
The Office is good. And you haven't watched The Mighty Boosh since you were 18. Congratulations.
It's like one of the most famous sitcoms of the 90s in England was this thing called Goodness Gracious Me.
I've never even fucking heard of it.
Which was just all starring Indian people. But the whole thing was just like...
Wait, sorry, Indian
like proper,
people.
Like,
yeah.
And it's called Goodness Gracious Me.
Yeah.
It was literally like doing the like the hand thing. Yeah.
That's tight.
I think there should be an episode of this. What's this show called again?
Offset.
We'll just tell your mother we ate it all.
No. The shit one.
We're
still going to need you to differentiate there.
Which is also called The Flaming Sword of Fire, but it's where old mate gets chlamydia.
Yeah. I mean, that will probably come. Episode two of this, they all get crabs.
Yeah. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it could, but it could come up again.
Okay.
All right. Well, I've got an interesting question now. But for the three of you, we're all right. I've been tasked with turning this ship around. Mike and you, like the show. I've hired three enterprising young writers, and I want a diverse writers' room. So I've got trans woman, and Hastings.
Every writer's room should have at least one Andrew Hastings.
Hastings. The nepotism hire, my friend.
There's always a nepotism
hire. We want to write an off-center episode, but we're not like changing the entire concept of the show. Like something like breaking Mike and Liz up is the furthest we go. We're not like, all right, we'll Ewan dies because he's British or something like that. It's like if you want to write, if we write an off-center episode that like sticks kind of within the framework of what they're trying to do, but like better, what do we do? What's our A story? What's our B story?
All right. First of all, I'm the head writer as the white man.
Absolutely, you're not. I just said I hired you.
He's the head writer.
Listen up, bitches. The way we're going to...
I think they should go on some kind of trip. Are there any of the other episodes they go on a holiday or something?
I haven't seen them so far.
Yeah, we watched this when we were young.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't remember. Occasionally, like, so far I've remembered little things as it's happened. But, yeah, I like a trip. I think take them on a holiday.
Yeah, they actually have genuine interactions with each other.
Okay.
Or is that changing the substance of the show?
Yeah, might be. Yeah. if we've changed it by making them all seem to like each other and like spending time with each other.
I'd cut off Ewan's dick.
Okay. We've got to have a talk with you. The network's talking about going in a different direction. And my hands are tired, dude. Like,
yeah.
I loved getting you on. I love working with you.
We need to call up next week's guest to be in that.
Hear me out. Spot. I think, yeah, if you have like, there's an episode where Ewan gets in, let's say, a car accident and he's in the hospital. No, hear me out.
You're flaunting all the rules I just set out for you.
What were the rules?
No, like,
you shouldn't speak.
Yeah, no changing the like complete structure of the show.
Oh, right. Yeah. I missed that one.
So it's more like Mike gets a pet snake or something.
I still have a job though, right?
It's not like Ewan starts... let's say Ewan gets diagnosed with schizophrenia and has to start taking like psychotropic medication that makes him fat. So he has to learn about like what it means to not rely on your looks and like how to actually.
And your way to get him fat is give him schizophrenia?
Yeah, something
can't
really.
Can't he just like on a donut store open next door?
Okay.
Like, no, but he's very clearly like, you know.
He seems like a kind of like. Yeah, lifestyle or whatever.
Definitely...
So he gets fat or whatever. Some horrible thing happens to him that he. Not. That getting fat is the most horrible thing that could happen to him. But he has to learn to rely on his personality.
It's 2002. It is.
Yeah, all right.
His character
that'll be gay, dude.
Okay, all right.
But like,
Ewan turns fat.
But also, his character would think getting fat would be the worst thing.
Yeah. Okay. And he has to, like, not be a shallow.
Yeah, maybe the idea of Ewan, like, freaking out about being fat could work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially because, like, the whole thing is, like, you make it clear that you're not, like, pilot. Like, the idea is more his vanity than, he's wearing. Cause
and he doesn't even have to get huge. He can just kind of let himself go.
I think a cardinal rule of our...
They did this as a plot line on How I Met Your Mother.
I'm going to put it on the whiteboard. A cardinal rule of our writer's room. No fat suits.
No fat suits.
That's garbage.
No hugging, no learning, no fat suits.
Friends already did it, too.
Yeah, true.
I have an actual answer now. I'd give Ewan a secret.
Yeah.
So, like, it could be anything from he's secretly a huge comic book nerd and he has a secret closet full of comic books. Or it could be that his dad's dead. I don't know. Like, but you have him a secret and you have some sort of, like, that would add some vulnerability and humanity to his character. And it's like a secret he actually does. It's not a powerful secret over other people. It's he's hiding it because he doesn't want other people to know.
See that, Hastings, you've just earned yourself.
Yeah. I know how scripts
the work. Opportunity to go get me some more coffee while I talk to the other writers. No, that comic collection, I like it. The only thing is, like, we have to write a story with him and his secret comic collection where at the end he does not have sex with a super hot woman because he confesses that he has a comic
collection.
Some girl's like, hey, do you want me to get in a Catwoman outfit? Like, that can't happen.
No, I think he's hiding it from Mike.
Yeah.
That's more...
But then how do you end with, like...
Mike's probably the most important relationship he has.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, that's like the more...
It would be important to do an A story with Mike and Ewan where they kind of like are friends instead of just the guy who fucks a lot of people that Mike wants to fuck while he whines about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the problem I think with this is like the friendships are not lived in at all.
No.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
just to compare to How I Met Your Mother because we always fucking do. Like...
the greatest piece of media ever made.
Yeah,
but like, it really does sound like we think that it's genius.
Yeah.
It is so much better than this.
It is though. Yeah.
But like Ted and Marshall's relationship, like properly feels lived in, and they explore it massively. They don't do that at all.
Well, the show is well written and made and acted.
Could this be a B plot? Maybe is it like one week, like Chow gets on a hot streak,
and
all of them like have to learn how to like deal with that instead of just being like, but he's our punching bag.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're kind of just flipping the fundamental role of each character in the show.
Yeah, that's what happens for an episode, though. You'd be like, well, this time it's actually Chandler who's the dumb one.
Well, I guess we want to stray away from doing it with everyone because then it just turns into the opposite from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
All right. Well, okay. What about you've got Mike and...
And if you could incorporate like Liz and status quo into these...
I was going to go Mike and Liz.
I'm finding it hard to figure out how to incorporate status quo into this because he doesn't... been there enough yet to like know how to use it.
Okay, well we've got
The Josh Thomas argument.
Yeah.
No, but you know, but you know what I mean? Like
I do know what you mean. Yes, you are right, yes.
We've talked about how to like fix his like terribly racist character, but like
I think it's goodly racist.
As executive producer and head writer.
You wanna walk that one back?
to say that it's goodly racist?
Yeah.
I reckon if you can't tell that I'm kidding there, you maybe shouldn't be listening to the podcast.
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay,
I don't know if people actually say things are goodly racist.
I'm sure there are some.
And people think people say goodly.
That's more what I'm getting at. Yeah. It's a nonsense term.
Okay, as head writer, I've decided. Mm-hmm. We've got an A story and a B story. The A story is that Ewan has a secret comic book collection, mm-hmm. and he's very insecure about it. And the B story is Chow is on a hot streak, and we need Liz and status quo in either of these plots doing something. What have you got for me?
Okay... Status Quo is also a huge comic book nerd and is like secretly bonding.
I like that. That makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense.
He's his confidant.
Yeah.
And as was flagged up before, Liz goes out with Cho and they get on it and they both start doing well for themselves.
Yeah. So in this, we've broken up.
Because they're broken up.
Yeah.
I'm keeping them together in my version.
There is no your version. This is a writer's room.
Can we talk to the producers
and get this guy out of the fucking show?
I don't know how many times I can go to bat for you with the network, guys.
Just one more time, please. Dude, I need this.
Look, they said, like, God. They're hiring...
The worst part is just like, this is what it would be.
Yeah.
Like,
they're hiring on... instructions. They're hiring on That's So Raven. They said you have to send a packet.
I can maybe do that.
Imagine this cunt trying to ride for That So Raven.
Oh yeah.
All right.
No, I could actually.
So like, I like status quo. Status quo, and status quo teaches Ewan about how to like. But then is like the message there that like compartmentalizing your shit and like hiding the things you love is good because that's kind of like you need to work to a thing where both Mike and status quo come to a realization that they should embrace the things that they love.
Yeah, but you can also frame it as like people are allowed to have privacy.
So what if like, so the ending, if you want
to... they just have to come out proudly. The ending, if you want to go
2002 sitcom, is that they somehow dress like comic book characters at the end.
Yes, Comic Con.
Yeah, both of them are at a thing wearing like, you know, like...
And to tie the two stories together... Liz and Chow could be there, also dressed like that, and they're like nerds, man.
Mm.
Yeah,
they're on like
Chow's discovered up. How. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, but so where's Mike in all of this? Now we've lost Mike.
Who cares? He sucks.
Mike is going on a drinking bender.
Mike, upset that Liz has broken up with him and seems to get on with the rest of the group better, has turned very dark.
Yeah, such as booting up heroin.
I think you could work Mike into the Ewan story pretty easily.
Yeah, because this thing is like they think that Mike is the nerd, so they're trying to hide it from him.
Yeah, also the idea that maybe, like, Ewan's planting the nerd stuff on Mike.
Yes.
And Mike, like, keeps being like, why is this why is this Batman comic on my bed?
His, like, ex-girlfriend who's getting heaps of fucking dick at the moment is just like, look at this fucking nerd.
And, like, there's got to be, like, I reckon there's probably an exaggerated thing where, like, Sean's bedroom has, like, all this cool, like, what guys think is cool in, like, 2002. So it's like a lava lamp and like satin sheets and stuff. But when you remove all that stuff, it's like Batman everywhere. Like the walls come down. It's like the fucking Green Lantern and stuff. Yeah. He's got action figures.
Batmobile bed. Satin sheets and lava lamps.
Mm? Batmobile bed.
Yeah, Batmobile bed.
What about this one? Incredible Hulk themed condoms.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Because you can watch, you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Hulk smash.
Yeah. It makes sense. It like grows.
Yeah, dude, I get it. I'm with you, man.
Excuse me, I need to call someone. Got a real good development idea.
Yeah, cool. What about how are Mike and Liz breaking up?
Mike and Liz. I reckon, like, honestly, you do the breakup off screen. Like, you just do, like, a Seinfeld thing and be like, hey, we're not together anymore, because you can't at this
stage. That way you can skip all the morning episodes.
Well, also, I was, like, at this stage, we've been brought in to right the ship on episode 6. So if we go full, like, Friends season 3 Ross-Rachel breakup, we haven't earned the right to do, like, absolutely actual not emotion with these people that are just awful so far. Yeah. So you just have to be, like, even, like, honestly, you could probably do, like, a pre-credit sting where, like, she has had enough. Like, because she has to dump him, probably.
Yeah.
Like, well, she's had enough. And,
and also, the laugh track softens everything. You can make the breakup fun.
A cold track where, a cold open where she dumps him and, like, then, like, we time skip a little and they've all settled into friendship.
Yeah, I like it. Makes my dick hard.
And so, so now at this point, we've got Chow and Liz going out, getting on dates. How do we get them to Comic-Con?
They want to pick up nerds. They're like, hey, I heard that, like, you can look at people dressed in sexy clothes. And
so the end is like everyone...
Dude, I love looking at people dressed in sexy clothes.
In the, like, cartoony...
I think it's the coolest thing to do.
So the end should obviously... The end should obviously be like all five of them are in cosplay.
How do you get Mike there? He...
That's how he's reconciled.
Well, he learns to... Not while he's having the evidence planted on him, he also secretly becomes a fan of it.
Yeah, well, we need Mike. Maybe Mike does it more in a way where he's like, hey, you know what, Ewan, like, I'm glad that you're ready to be, like, expressive with this and, like, finally, like, open up to me. Here we go. And, like, he tears off his stuff and he's just wearing, like, you know, like a Spider-Man costume or something like that.
Because that's how you show that, like, I care about you.
Yeah,
we
want Mike. Maybe Mike takes, like, Mike is kind of the backseat character in this. His role is to support Ewan.
So the parody is you make it like a coming out scene. Like, that's the gag there, is you make it seem like Ewan's coming out as gay, but he's actually coming out as a comic book fan. And it's like the end, it's Mike's like, I've always known. And then he rips off the shirt. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Alternatively, he's trying to win Liz back because he still loves her, and he finds out she's going out with some comic book nerd, chases her down,
so
some kind of
knows
scene.
It's a comic book nerd, but doesn't know it's... Wait, no, right, sorry. Never mind.
We can have our cake and eat it too there.
Yeah.
Where he he's obviously going for Liz, but then, like, once that fails, like, he backtracks and makes it seem like he's supporting Ewan, because then that's an easy laugh of, like, oh, Mike's kind of like this pathetic guy.
Yeah.
Like, so, like he's like, what do you say, Liz? And he's Spider-Man. She's like, no, it's been 6 months. And he was like, you and I support what you're doing. I did this for you, buddy, you know? Yeah.
I don't mind
the
if...
The joke there is he has to go way over the top with it then. So he's got to have, like, makeup and a mask. And, like,
well, he should do,
you know,
like...
animatronics on his fucking shit or whatever.
Maybe it's too OC season one, but, like, it would be cool to have, like, Mike going down from the ceiling like Spider-Man... hanging in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trying to do the upside down kiss. And at the end, they all go through their emotional thing. Like, Status Quo and Ewan have realized that they love comics. Chow and Liz are just having fun. And, like, they all are like, oh, we're all here. This is great. Let's go check. San Lee's signing something over there. San Lee. And then they walk away.
We're
going
to have to
and,
do some good script writing because we're wasting the entire season's budget on this one episode.
And San Lee's dead.
Yeah. Well, they walk away.
And it is him.
Yeah. So they all...
The Weekend at Bernie's.
So they all walk away and they're like, let's go see Stan Lee. And then it's just Mike hanging upside down in the Spider-Man uniform being like, guys.
Yeah, that's, and then good. That's good. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Mm.
Executive producer. Jamie Kirk, and then, but you see Hastings trying to push it off with a typewriter.
So I think it's okay for Mike to remain unlikable. I think if the other characters become more likable, you can have one that still
sucks. I think
the
main salvage job has to be Ewan. Like, Ewan has to be made redeemable and, like, vulnerable. Whereas, like, you can probably, in this situation, with Mike broken up with Liz, go more into Mike being unlikable.
Yes.
Like, you don't want him to be outright, like, I detest this man, because he still kind of functions as a protagonist. But if you shifted it just a little where, like, even Chow is kind of more the main character.
Well, the thing is, like, Mike's a loser. So, like, maybe you have to kind of make him the George Costanza kind of...
Yeah. Well, I've got another pitch for another episode, maybe, is, like, at some point, like, Mike loses whatever job he has and, like, cannot afford rent. So, like, Ewan has to kick him out. Because then you've got an excuse to maybe, like, change the status quo and get Chow in there.
Well, no, what if Ewan makes Mike his butler and then Liz starts dating... Mike again. And then Ewan's like, but he's my butler.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Can I have my check now, please?
You really should. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll send you the check.
Jamie Wilson
Why
said,
do we get paid less than this guy?
Because just, of the patriarchy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's for the like, boys.
I have two words for you. Hollywood, baby.
Jamie, you said change the status quo and get Chow in there, but you should have said and get status quo in there.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's why you're on the team.
Thanks.
What is?
Thank
what
you.
If,
that's why you're earning 77% of what I earn.
Yes.
What if as like a as a very special episode for status quo, the Carlton rapper.
He's about to say something really bad.
No. What if there was just an episode where he was like stopped by the police racistly and then this show had to deal with like racism?
We could get there maybe in season two. We're pretty far from
that. I want to see this show really tackle that heavy issue.
Did we move the show into 2020 or is it still in...
Oh, it's in 03.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Can deal with that though. Like, they did it on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well, Jared Carmichael's stuff is all about being criticized, like
And that's like a proper like multicam sitcom.
Yeah, it's pretty funny too. Like, there is a full episode about police brutality and it's really good. Like, it... Like, straddles that fine line between, like, very special episode, but,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine one is a little too very... There's not a lot of laughs in it. It's very, very special episode.
Yeah.
I don't love that about that.
But, like, I think it's handled, like...
Oh, like, it's quite a sweet episode. I enjoy the episode, but I just do wish it was
I'm so curious as to what they're fucking doing now.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah,
I've heard that... working writing team.
Well, I've heard that they've already thrown out every single script that they've got, and they had four completed.
Right.
So it's like, it would be so funny if they just all came back and they just did not call attention to it and they all work at a florist or something.
Yeah.
But they all have
work at a post office.
Yeah, but they all have the same titles for some reason. Like Detective Jake Peralta is making a lovely bouquet of daffodils.
Like ACAB flowers.
Yeah.
Or dude. Florist.
I've been rewatching a bit of Peep Show as well. It's real good.
It is good.
Space Force I didn't like at first, but it grew on me.
Have you watched the other one by the fucking office guy? Upload.
No,
that's good.
I've heard it's good.
Have you finished it yet?
No.
Right. I liked it a lot.
This will appeal to Hastings. I've started watching Watchmen.
Oh, fuck yeah. HBO one?
Yeah.
I've heard it's great.
It is really good.
Yeah.
But it's not really like Watchmen at all.
I've heard that as well.
It's much more like, did you watch that guy's other series, The Leftovers?
I watched an episode of it, yeah.
The Leftovers fucking rules. It's quite like that.
Okay. I might check that out. Might check out Leftovers, might check out Watchmen.
In terms of Peep Show, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys identify more with Jez or Mark?
That's Jez, obviously.
Okay.
But at times, like Yvette's a few times been like, there's a little bit of super hands in you.
Super hands.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah.
That's true. It is a triangle.
A little bit of...
It pains me to say it, but also a bit of that for me. I think Jez and a bit of super hands.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Mark.
So just,
you're a classic.
Yeah. My Mark as well.
Yeah.
You're Mark.
It's all good.
Yeah, you're
nothing wrong
both
with that.
Clearly Marks.
We are. Yeah. It's okay. I love history.
Yeah. I love not having responsibilities, sleeping in, having fun.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Anyone want to go to the pub after this?
I would if I didn't have to drive.
I would if I was.
And I got to get an early night.
Coming down from
the really. Right
now. I'd love to continue to not.
But I'll come to the pub with you before the pod on Wednesday.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'll leave the office a little early, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, I'll come to the pub just because, like, I don't want to be too much of a mark.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's go to the pub.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The only reason we go to the pub now is to prove we're not a Peep Show character. We're just there every day being like, fuck, it was Super Hans!
We're doing Wednesday 8:30, right?
We're discussing our schedule on the podcast.
I'll forget
you
it.
Fucking idiot.
I think we are. Well, it's your work.
Yeah, so I finished at 8. So, like, just confirm we told the guests.
Oh, let's talk about this at the end of the
episode.
I'm about in the second we stop recording. So,
spaghetti.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
You're hungover. Why don't you get Uber Eats?
I did for lunch. And this is, like, also making lunch for work tomorrow and stuff.
What'd
I
you get?
Have responsibilities.
What'd you get for lunch?
Such a Mark thing to say, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm married. What I get from Uber Eats today? I got nachos from Mad Max. You get them to use the liquid cheese.
I love liquid
don't
cheese.
Don't fuck around. It's, you know, how about fuck around, find out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
How long has it been?
We're past an hour.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we did it, dude.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Anyone got anything to plug?
Laura, like, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I am doing some stand-up tomorrow, but I imagine that this won't be coming out by then.
You already crashed.
Forget about it.
Anything after Thursday?
No, but just like if people could follow me on Instagram, I have like a very embarrassingly low number of followers.
Mm. What's your handle?
Oh, it's La La Laura Cole.
I'll follow you back when you crack 500 followers.
Get fucked.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I already follow you.
Thank you very much. I can't afford to lose any of you. Yeah. Okay.
You on Twitter or anything?
I tried Twitter for a bit during the pandemic. I found it very...
awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have gigs. If you're listening to this on the day it came out, I'm at Giant Comedy tonight. And then look for me in the Sun Herald or The Age, I would assume, the Sunday after that. And then on the 13th, I'm Sneaky Possum. Come down to that. There might be other things. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Rose Alice Piper. Powerbomb Comedy still isn't on, but just follow us in that.
If you're listening to it, it came out this Monday. I'm on at Sneaky Possum in Chippendale. Which date? 13th.
Yeah, I'm on that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, come on down there. There's two members of the
two pod. Of the gang will be there.
Oh yeah, big shout out to Harley who is a fan of the podcast who came to Sneaky Possum the other day.
All right,
awesome. Yeah. I know Harley.
Yeah.
They're great. Yeah,
they've been to Powerbomb a couple of times as well.
Yeah, great. They're great audience member.
They're an OG Hastings fan.
Yes.
I believe they're big fans of the cheerleader movie, the fucking one that you like.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I'm a cheerleader.
Oh, yeah.
That movie, I love that as well.
It's sexy as hell. I'm on Magic.
Also, follow us.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not done plugging.
Okay.
I'm on at Magic Mike on the 22nd. I'm just plugging spots now because that's all we get these days.
That's all there fucking is.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Magic Mike on the 22nd in the Potts Point Hotel of July. And on the 27th July, I'm at the Manly Boat Shed. Come on down.
Oh, baby.
That's going to be fun.
I have seen the lineup. Do not go to that show.
Yeah.
What was your mate's name? Was it Michelle?
Oh yeah.
Maybe Michelle come on down to the Manly Boat Shed.
Michelle Lim, come down, do a spot, Michelle.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't book it or have anything to do with it.
And she's definitely not listening, but
Nah, she's our biggest fan, dude.
I'll try
Lim's funny, look up her stuff.
I'm gonna start trying to I'll post that that Harry Potter article thing on our feed.
Mm.
So we Please. We'll just tell your mother we ate it all on Facebook. We ate it all on Twitter.
I think so,
We ate it all podcast on Instagram. Follow us on there. Maybe we'll even take a photo tonight and do that guest photo thing again, which we haven't done in ages.
Listeners, when we do that, have a look at this thing on my lip. If anyone can tell if it's a cold sore or not, let me know.
It is a cold sore.
Oh, you got herpes, dude. It doesn't tingle at all, though.
It doesn't tingle. It just kind of like feels like a cut.
Sometimes that'll happen.
Yeah, you're probably fucking chewing your lip off last night when you're on the
It's been there for like a week. The average is a cold sore.
Yeah, just be like, it's from pill usage. Drugs are cool. I'm super hunts.
Yeah. How many caps? What's the number of caps I would have to say right now for you guys to be like, cool?
That you went to bed early.
Like, that you did last night?
Yeah.
Six.
If I said I did six caps last night, you'd be like, dude, that's so sick.
No, because I would be like, okay.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think I'd think it was cool. I'd just be like, no, I've got to do six.
That is the perfect window into your psyche.
Yeah, I got to beat my old number.
No, I've never done more than, I think, like three or four in a night.
I'd say none because you'd be like subverting my expectations.
Ah, yeah. I agree. Great answer, yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I don't even do MDMA that much. It's a fun drug, but it's still, you know, it takes a toll on you.
You're clearly not on Zoloft, my friend.
That's true. Mm. Yeah, that is a good point. I'm not.
Yeah, I got something to plug, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Your butt.
We should do that every week.
If you guys like comedy, Sydney's most successful room, Everly Comedy,
is
coming back.
Whee!
The best room.
From the 12th of July.
Oh, so excited.
We have an all-star lineup already there.
Who's
for
on
you.
It?
Who's on it, you ask? Sam Campbell.
Oh, baby.
Sam Taunton.
Sure.
Nice. Conchetta Cristo.
Woo.
Steph Broadbridge. And potentially one more person.
You.
Surely you've got to get Tom Walker in. He was doing a residency.
He has been asked and not responded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's leaving the house a lot.
He's done.
Tom,
he did.
You dog cunt.
He's done stand up. He's done the Gladstone, so he's like back and ready to go.
Right.
We'll get him. And you'll probably see some, maybe two of the hosts of We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All at some point.
But I'm not allowed to be booked, so.
No, you still just so have to show up and get put on.
Yeah. You're the host that you might
see. Yeah, man.
And obviously, guest Laura Coleman will almost certainly be on in the next month or two.
Get Hastings or three. On. Hastings on fire right now.
Yep. I don't reckon he is.
I actually haven't been doing very good on stage.
And also, good. I'm at Giant Comedy on the 23rd of July and Magic Mike on the 29th.
Excellent. Excellent. The
things that you said.
So you booked that gig too, huh? that's cool. That's
cool. Yeah. You're at Giant Comedy?
I'm happy. No, I'm not. I have done Giant Comedy, just not this time around. It's fine.
Is that us?
That's us.
Cool, baby. Oh, do you know how the stupid way that we end this podcast?
I think so.
Okay. I'm sure you'll pick up on it.
Yeah.
To the next step.
To the next step.
To the next step.
Forget all that stuff I said about all that stuff I did.